Today's New Testament reading is the first epistle to Timothy, the second chapter. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Kenton Poles from Grace Lutheran Church in Bishop, California.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends of Jesus and dear friends of mine. Martin Luther was getting a haircut one day and was asked by his barber, how do I pray? And he said, well, remember four words, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And the barber said, well, what do you mean by that? And Luther said, well, in your prayers you should adore God, like you say, our Father who art in heaven. That's a statement of adoration. And in your prayers you should learn to confess. You should be able to say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And of course, in your thanking time, you might remember thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And of course, we supplicate in the Lord's Prayer too when we say, give us this day our daily bread. And we see in our text today from Timothy the power in adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving. Different words, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, supplications. And these are to be offered on the behalf of people, even people we don't agree with, even people that might have a lopsided view of life or the kingdom. We should still pray for them. In Jesus' day, that would be praying for Herod, even though he was a tyrant. In our day, we might find ourselves praying even for people in other countries that are dictators, that misrepresent everything Christianity stands for. And as Paul goes on about this prayer, it was very wonderful to look at this because he says here, live a tranquil and quiet life. And I was speaking to Andy just moments ago about this. We want to be living a quiet and tranquil life. If we could just, all of us as Christian people, could learn to live more with tranquility, with quietness, with respect and dignity for all, even the people that oppose us, think about the evangelism that would be happening. Think about the revival of the church. I would imagine if non-Christians saw Christians acting like this all the time, they'd probably be scratching on the front door of the church just trying to get in, and that they would then be finding that God does desire all to be saved. He really does desire all to be saved. Timothy's a wonderful person to look at. He's a young man. His name means gift of God. And as you look at his life, he's an interesting person because his father was not a Christian. He was a Greek. He had a Jewish mother and grandmother named Eunice and Lois, and they were very influential in leading him to the promises of God. In fact, Paul tells us about Timothy that when you were even in your infancy, your your grandmother and your mother were presenting to you the salvation, making you wise unto your eternal life. And I'm thinking, isn't that wonderful that we had mentors in our life, people in our life, loving us, caring for us, taking time for us to have devotions with us, pray with us. I'm so thankful for my dad and my mom who took the time, even when they were tired, to pray with me. So they demonstrated for me what it means to be a supplicating person, a praying person, an adoring person, an intercession person, a thanksgiving person. And we need to become that for other people, don't we? We all need to become that to other people. All men, God desires all men to be saved. And that's such a clear text. God desires everyone to look at Christ, butchered on the cross, beaten on the cross, bruised on the cross. Think about that. God did that. What other religion teaches us that God was beaten, bruised, and bloodied for us? No other religion teaches that. They might offer us views on how to live our lives, but they can't take our place. Jesus takes our place, and he's our mediator. He's the one that actually takes our place. Even now, he represents us. What type of a lawyer would you want to have if it came to granting you eternal life? I want someone that can take my sin away, and that's our mediator, Jesus. And that's what Jesus is going to say to the Father one day, all by God's grace. He's going to say to the Father, Father, this one's with me. This one's with me. I'm his mediator. I'm his Savior. I'm his resurrection. I'm his strength. And it makes it a lot easier to pray when you know that's all true, doesn't it? Makes it a lot more invitatory to pray when we know that he totally is the one who has saved me and risen from the dead for me. He's my ransom. He's my testimony before the Father. I don't need to give my testimony to the Father one day, proving how righteous I am because Jesus is my testimony. He's the one who testified for me completely. And even now he testifies to me before the Father. He intercedes for me. What a wonderful thought that St. Paul brings to us, to this young pastor, Timothy. And we're included in this. We are included in all people. We're included in the truth that our sins have been forgiven and that if I were to die today, I'm going to be with Jesus. And no one can take me away from that. In verse 6, Jesus is the one who is a ransom for all, and he is the testimony to be rendered, and he is given to us in the times, that's Kairos times. God at the right time saved sinners. Not according to chronology time, but at the right opportunity time, he saved you. And he's risen from the dead. He lives and reigns to all eternity. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hold on to that promise this week. Let that promise be a joy for you, that in the midst of your troubled life, in the midst of your terrible life, in the midst of everything that's haunting you, remember that God is greater than all the forces of evil, living and reigning for you right now. So live in that joy every day and know that no matter what happens to your life, he has got your life eternal in hand. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We thank Pastor Kenton Poles from Grace Lutheran Church in Bishop, California, for today's meditation on God's Word.